It's Knob, it's Knob, it's Knob TV. It's Knob, it's Knob, it's Knob TV.
Hello, this is the crazy world of Knob TV, where we mix the best new music with tales of the paranormal and UFOs. Today's theme is the Turin Shroud. Okay, have you heard of that?
Yeah. Was it like Jesus's cloth where he was buried or something?
Yeah, it was alleged to be the burial shroud of Jesus Christ. And in the 70s, it was big news. And there was actual evidence that linked it to a crucifixion of someone. And the fact is they couldn't get someone to recreate it now. That was the issue they had. But then in 1986, it was carbon dated by the British Museum, which proved, it was a medieval hoax. However, I would be chatting to filmmaker David Rolfe. David Rolfe won a BAFTA in the 70s for his documentary for the BBC on the Turin Shroud. And actually, he became a Christian because of all the evidence he found. And like I said, the carbon dating in 1986 by the British Museum then announced that it was a fake because it was made in medieval times, so it couldn't possibly be the Shroud of Jesus. However, David has now made a new film which casts doubts on this and actually proves that the carbon dating test was flawed. So it's really, really interesting. And he's actually issued $1 million challenge to anyone out there. It still holds now. If they can recreate the image using technology today, the same as the Turin Shroud, he will give them $1 million.
So it could be genuine then.
Who knows? Let's find out.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah. So first up today, we've got a brilliant video from one of my favourite bands, Kill the Giants. It's called Our Silver Heart, and it's apparently the genre's new Catholic techno.
Ave Maria.
Check it out.
I'm something more than just a man. And you're something more. And you are. And you are. Me and you. Everyone.
That was quite trippy and dancey and vibey and...
I like it. I like that mixture of like, you know, kind of like indie kind of guitar, but then world beats and crunching sort of techno sounds.
It was a bit like that, what's that band, Enigma, remember them? They mixed kind of monk stuff there. Yeah, it reminded me
of that.
I don't know who this band is, so we'll never find out.
Do you know what? I want to see them live.
Yeah.
But
never going to happen, mate.
No, they never play any gigs.
They can't. They can't play any instruments, okay?
Damn.
Okay, next we've got David Rolfe, BAFTA award-winning filmmaker, who's got a new film out called Who Can He Be? And he chats to us about the Turin Shroud.
Well, Mark, thank you for arranging this interview. I know that you've had a chance to see my film on this subject, and I appreciate you taking the time and trouble to do that. We can discuss it later on, but as you can see from the film, I have found it most of my life, one of the most intriguing and fascinating objects in the world. It was back in 1976, mm-hmm. that I first came across it when I was fresh out of, graduated from the London Film School. And in those days, it was not easy. It was only two TV channels, and it was union controlled. ITV was, and BBC was more or less Oxford and Cambridge only. Yeah. But it was difficult for me. I graduated with honours from the film school, but hard to get a job. I did get stuff making industrial films for large civil engineering companies, that sort of thing. But I wanted to get my teeth into something a bit more important, or more meaty anyway. And I just sent out a press release. I couldn't afford to advertise. I sent out a press release to all the British provincial newspapers and landed on my desk. Hang on, I'll just get something for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, this is a large version of it.
Excellent.
Yeah. But what arrived on my desk was this image, mm-hmm. Which purported to be... Mm-hmm. You can see a face here. Let me just mm-hmm. get rid of these things that are popping up on my screen.
Yeah.
You can see a face here,
yeah.
crossed arms here, and then it goes down to feet at the bottom.
Yeah.
And if you turn it round, mm-hmm. There's the back of the head there.
Yeah, you can see that, yeah.
And you see the back here. Mm-hmm. These, by the way, are burn marks. It was involved in a fire in 1532, and it's been patched. But miraculously, the main image, you can see the legs and the soles of the feet.
Yeah.
And what you have there is a kind of mysterious image of a man. And even the most cursory observation by anybody who doesn't know anything about medical forensics, the wound on it looked like it's someone who's been crucified. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just show you one more thing.
Sure.
The really remarkable element of this is that image that I showed you with its kind of half-tone, when you photograph it, now, there's a whole generations now that don't know about negatives. Mm. Sure. Digital photography has eliminated all that, but I think you're probably old enough to remember negatives.
Yeah, I remember them. I had an old Canon camera, I know what it's... Yeah.
Yeah. So before you could actually make a print, you actually had your credit in negative and you went into a dark room and so on. Well, when you photograph that any part of the shroud, but I'm going to show you a picture of the face. When you photograph that face, that's what it looks like.
Wow, that's amazing.
It turns out that image that's actually on the cloth, I mean, this is completely unretouched. That's literally all you're looking at there is the negative of the face. And the same thing happens to the whole body.
Yeah. So what made you want to make this new film? I know the carbon dating that came out, what was it, 1986?
Yeah, well, let's go back a bit then to that.
Yeah.
In 1978, the film came out, then the Shroud of Turin became... extremely well known, and based on the evidence that was presented in it, including, interestingly, one of the most famous Christian skeptics, a chap called Dr. John Robinson, who was Dean of Trinity College, Cambridge.
Yeah.
He came out with me to Albuquerque to a big conference of these scientists. And by the time he'd looked at it, and this is a Christian bishop who was skeptical about so many things.
Yeah.
He came out and said, he was also a historian. Mm-hmm. No medieval forger could have conceived this.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the crux of your new film, really, isn't it?
Only they might have conceived, but they certainly couldn't have created it because of this encoding with the three dimensionality. So you had the shroud was suddenly genuinely recognised as being authentic. And by the late 80s, a new technique had been developed, and it only needed that much material to a carbon 14 test, in fact less than that material. Mm-hmm. The church thought, well, why don't we do it? I mean, we know that all the evidence is suggesting that it's authentic.
So yeah, thank you, David. I mean, it's got such an interesting history, this Turin shroud, and there's a lot of controversy around it, because I've seen the film that David's made, his new one, and what fascinated me was some of the evidence. They found pollen. Okay, mm-hmm. It's proper scientists, not YouTube people. Found pollen from the shroud that dates back to the year 200 in Jerusalem, which means the shroud at some stage was outside in Jerusalem.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know how that can be.
It's amazing what technology can do these days as well.
And they've also, scientists from NASA have analysed the shroud. And the image that's on the shroud is 3D. It's not just one dimensional. It's actually that you can recreate a human body from this image. And they still don't know how it was done. And the technology today still can't recreate it, which is why it's issued this $1 million challenge.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, some people have suggested that Leonardo da Vinci is possibly behind it. And I think he's probably the only one who might have been able to do it. But we'll find out more. Next from David Rolf.
There were squabbles, and the politics came into it. And in addition to that, these seven labs were fighting like cats in a sack too, because there was only going to be three, maximum four people to do the tests. The internecine squabbles between Rome and Turin and different scientific opinions that had cropped up meant that the protocols that Tite himself had said are vital if you want to get an accurate test had been abandoned, compromised.
Okay.
At which point, had he not been now involved with this side bet with, he should have said, well, we can't do the test.
Yeah, should have called it off.
Called it off. Mm. But now he had a vested interest. They said, oh, no, don't worry. We can do the test. It'll be all right, I'm sure. And the Vatican couldn't be seen to withdraw it because it would look as if they didn't have confidence.
Running scared, yeah.
So the test went ahead without the protocols. In the end, they took it from, if you imagine, and I've got an old envelope here. If you imagine that the shroud is that shape, and the protocol said you've got to take seven different samples from all these places.
From all over, that would have been good.
In the end, they took one sample, 7 centimetres long, from this corner. Now, if you've seen the film,
I have.
You know that for centuries, this thing was the most holy relic in Christendom. Every 20, 30 years, it would be brought out, and the great and the good, this in the height of the Mediterranean summer, would hold it up.
So,
and they'd grab it with both hands. And of course, it got worn. And all material back in, these days, of course, fabrics comes in rolls, it's very easy. But back in the Middle Ages, everything had to be hand woven. They were very expensive things, and they were very skilled people where things did work, who could actually make invisible repairs.
Sure. So we're just kind of running out of time. So you think it was repaired, and that's what skewed the carbon test.
It is now known because the material was released eventually, and we now know the composition of it. On the Who Can He Be screen, which you've seen, not only that we go into the carbon 14 test, but there's also by a colleague of mine, Michael Kowalski, a complete forensic examination of everything that happened with the carbon 14, right down, because a lot of material has now been released under the Freedom of Information Act. And so it's quite apparent that the carbon 14 test was wrong. The British Museum put their name to it because Michael Tite was their employee. I've challenged them. I've said, all right, you said it was a medieval forgery.
That's the thing, isn't it?
There's $1 million. It's there waiting for you. Just show us how he created this three-dimensional image. Silence. Not a word from them. Followed it up. And it's there. And I'm going to extend that.
Okay, that's good. Okay, we're going to extend. What I found interesting is no one knows how the image was created. And there was some scientific lab in the film that you saw that showed it must have been a massive burst of intense energy, you know, released just for a nanosecond. Would you say that was the miracle of Christ dying, his soul going up to heaven? Is that what caused it?
I started off when I'm back in the 70s when I was an atheist. I wouldn't even have my daughter baptized.
Right.
In the course of making this film and over the subsequent years, getting to know the subject better, I've become a Christian. So I believe in the resurrection.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing else. I mean, Christianity was spread by people who, ordinary people who'd seen him dead, seen him crucified, then seen him walking around. And when people said, did that couldn't have happened, they said, yes, it did. They crucified them. They had such belief in this event. And the image itself, no one can reproduce it. There's this envelope, right? Now, if you imagine the surface of this, this is the cloth. But do you imagine it now that it's that thick, okay, blown up? Well, the image hardly penetrated. It's measured in microns.
I know.
The only thing that explains that is huge amounts of energy, infinitesimal amounts of time. So you're talking about nanoseconds and megatons coming together in one moment.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, so in your opinion, all the evidence you've seen, I know you've got your faith now, you believe the Turin Shroud is the burial shroud of Jesus Christ.
Unequivocally.
Okay, that's amazing.
Okay, that was quite mind-blowing. David Rolfe is very passionate about this subject. And, you know, to be fair, he's presented a lot of evidence that basically the shroud, the image on the shroud is something strange, and the technology we have today can't recreate that image. And that's the issue that we got in the British Museum in 1986 with their flawed carbon test. You know, basically said it was, you know, made by a medieval forger, which is obviously not true, because the carbon test was done on a bit of fragment at the corner of the shroud, which was now been proven to be a patched up repair job in medieval times, hence the medieval carbon date. They should have taken 7 different samples throughout the whole of the shroud, and that's the issue that we've got. Maybe, I mean, it doesn't prove that it's the burial shroud of Jesus Christ. But what is proven by science is that it took an enormous amount of energy for a nanosecond to create that image, because it's so superficially fine on the top of the fabric. So it's quite mind-blowing. And he's, you know, as we've seen, he thinks it is the genuine burial shroud of Jesus Christ.
Can they not retest it then?
I mean, I don't know if the Catholic Church would allow that.
The Catholic Church own it, do they?
It's still in Turin. But it's, you know, it does open your eyes a little bit.
Yeah? I mean, he's done all right, Jesus, isn't he, in terms of, like...
He's done all right!
Spreading the message from, you know...
Yeah.
From before he was born. BC.
Yeah. He's done all right. That quote will go down in history.
Yeah, he's a bit of a revolutionary. I mean, we're assuming that he even existed, but, you know.
Yeah.
Assuming that he was a historical figure. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, you know, if we're still on air next week, we'll, the Catholic Church hasn't taken us off air.
Oh, God.
We'll see. Maybe his next video will definitely take us off air.
So, yeah, next up, it's Kobe. And a bit of nice, like, chill wave, just to kind of, like, relax you into the rest of your day. Yeah, check out the video. He's definitely having a relaxing time in that video. So, good stuff. Yeah. This is, I love this artist. And he's quite good live. He did a really good gig at the Hard Rock Cafe.
He did, yeah. Very talented, yeah.
Yeah, check him out.
Take you higher than Peter Pan. Take you higher to Neverland. Oh shit, Kobe got better fam. But we all equal, ain't a man that I think I'm better than. But there's better that I know I'm real than. Misunderstood, didn't really understand. English lab, but I sweat like a Rasta man. Spit that fire, you know I'm a dragon fan. Tryna make gains, ain't tryna maintain. It's insane the way that bitch give brain. On these beats, I actual play. You know them other man ain't the same. Faded off the wave, I made it the same. I'm feeling good, I'm feeling great. Back in the hood, I'm getting paid. Don't fuck with lames. Juju, your brain like weight. Kobe the realest, feel like the flyest. Third eye open, my vibe the highest. Take you higher, yeah I'm the pilot. In I'm flyer, ain't none like this. Strip like one, fuck it I'm flying. Baby girl, don't act childish. You know we vibing, know what the time is. You gotta dip, you gotta leave. I got the sauce, I got the peas. What you want, what you need. I do what I want, I do what I please. I'm your sayer, it's unlike me. Swipe my shadows and the lights in me, yeah. Call you want, call you need. I do what I want, I do as I please. I'm you, I say it, it's unlike me. So I can shadows and the lights in me.
Okay, back from Neverland to the mad world of Nub TV. That was Kobe, great artist. And just want to point out, he wasn't smoking real drugs. They were a prop.
Yeah, just for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, So please don't take us off air. But that was Kobe, and he's an interesting chap. His best mate is Rocco Ritchie, who's Madonna's son. And maybe Madonna would like to come on the show. Share her paranormal.
I bet she's had a few experiences, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Some paranormal.
Yeah. I can't touch that. She's done all right, like Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching Nub TV. Hopefully see you soon. Hopefully. And if you want to get in touch with us and you're not Ofcom, contact nubmusic.co.uk. It's Nub, it's Nub, it's Nub TV.